Amen. While the offering baskets are being passed, I want to tell you about a few other things coming up. First of all, next Sunday is our last Sunday here at Coronado. I am super excited about this. I'm really stoked about it. We're going to be moving up to Dick Moser's house, which is terrific because he's got that view that looks out on all of Catalina, and we can just be praying over the community, and it's exactly the right size for what we are right now, and I think God's going to do something amazing. So this is kind of like a rebirth for our church, you know, a fresh start for our church. And there are, I put this morning some touch cards on your chairs that you can take and hand out to people or keep for yourself just so you remember the address. If you've never been up to Dick's house, this is where it's at. On the back, there's a little map that you can give to people and let them know where we're meeting now. And it has all the information for our church. Do me a favor, hand these out to people. Let them know that we're starting fresh, we're starting new, and it's going to be a really intimate family-type atmosphere. And I'm really excited about this direction our church is taking. So, but at the same time, we need to take this opportunity to grow and get our name out there in the community. I think it's great that the parade is the weekend after we start meeting at Dick's house. We're going to publicize that at the parade, and I'm really stoked about this. This is going to be great. also, on a not so positive note, this was a really hard week. This is a really difficult week for most of us. Most of you know Johnny Johnson, the founding pastor here at Pathway. His father, Howard, passed away on Monday night. The memorial service was yesterday. A lot of us drove up to Mesa to be there for that. That was really difficult, but not completely unexpected because he was 92 years old, lived a long, full, happy life, and now he's with Jesus. So it was a celebration more than anything else. But it's sad to see him go at the same time. And then some of you know this, some of you don't. Pastor Janet right now is up with her daughter Nancy. Nancy's daughter Bella passed away Friday morning in her sleep. She just didn't wake up Friday morning. So the whole Alstrom and Hinton family is up with Nancy right now, just loving on her and taking care of her. So please be praying for Pastor Janet. I mean, it was her granddaughter and for Nancy. Most of you know Nancy. And it's a very, very sad time for them when a two-year-old is taken like that, not even two. I just want to take a moment and pray for those situations and pray for the message this morning, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't always understand your ways. We don't always know why things happen the way they do. But one thing we do know, God, is that you are good. And you are in control. And we're going to continue to follow you no matter what. Right now we lift up Johnny and Mindy and the rest of the Johnson family as they lost Howard this week. Continue to give them peace. Continue to comfort them in their grief. And for Nancy too, Lord, and the rest of the Alstrom clan, I pray that you would let them feel your presence in this horrible situation, this tragic situation. Lord, let them feel your love. Let them know that you are there. Comfort them, Father. Lord, I pray for the message this morning, Lord, that you would Let me speak your word. Not what I want to say, but what you want to say. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So now I get to preach on Thanksgiving. And this is, you know, this is my favorite time of the year, you know, being here and giving thanks and thinking back on what God has done over the past year in my life and in this church. And I do love this time of year. And in times like these, when we have news like we've had over the past week, we just need to figure out how to reconcile the sad times with giving thanks for the good things that we do have. And I think the best way to do that is just to not take what we have for granted. You know? Because it can disappear at any time. You know, we just need to be thankful for the things that God has blessed us with right now. Because we don't know how long they're going to last. So be thankful for the things that that you have. My daughter goes to Casas Christian School, and Abby's been memorizing a lot of Bible verses as a part of her Bible curriculum there. And one passage that she's been working on for the past month or so, she's kind of in a race with some of her classmates. You can memorize these verses in any order you want. The whole list is out there, you know, for the students to see, and so they can memorize these verses and say them to the teacher whenever they have them memorized. And so most kids, there is a schedule, so most of the kids just follow the schedule and memorize like one verse per month, you know, and just try to go through and get it done by the end of the year. But Abby's one of those hyper-competitive kids who always has to be first. And there's another kid, this boy in her class, that is the exact same way. And so they're like in this race to see who can memorize all these Bible verses in the shortest amount of time and get them all said to the teacher. And Abby skipped ahead a few months and memorized some of the shorter ones that were coming up in the future and said those and got those, got credit for those. And the Thanksgiving passage that they were going to memorize is the entire chapter of Psalm 100. And it's five verses long, but it took her a good month to get this thing down. She's been working on it for a month here. We write them on, you know, construction paper and tape them up all over our house so that she sees them wherever she goes. And her mirror in the bathroom, we wrote it in lipstick on the mirror in big letters, so every time she's looking in the mirror doing her hair, she's seeing the memory verse. And she finally, you know, we broke it up into like two verse chunks so that she could memorize it in little sections and then say it all together. And she finally got it down. This past week, she was able to go in and say this entire chapter of Psalm 100 to her teacher and get credit for it. I'm really proud of her. And I wanted her to come up here and say it to all of you guys in front of the church, but she was a little bit shy to do that. She was up for it until last night, getting ready for bed. She said, "Dad, I don't really want to, Daddy." All right, that's fine. Slacker. But since I've been seeing this chapter up all over my house for the past month, I've pretty much memorized it myself. And being that it's Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday, I thought it's a really great chapter, really appropriate that I talk to you about it this morning. What's really interesting about a lot of these psalms, some were written by David, some were written by a guy named Asaph. They were all written by songwriters, composers back then. And they're poetry. And one thing you'll notice as we read through Psalm 100 is that it breaks down into four distinct parts. These five verses, they break down into four distinct parts. The first part just says, give thanks, you know. Be thankful for what you have. And then the second part says, here's why we should be thankful. And then the third part says, be thankful. And then it goes again into why we should be thankful. So let's look at Psalm 100. Look for the poetry here in this. Let's read it. It starts out in verse 1. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. And why? Verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And then again, it goes into give thanks. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Why should we do that? Verse 5. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So why should we, as individuals, why should we be giving thanks to God? Not just during Thanksgiving week, but in our lives in general. Why should we be giving thanks to God? A couple things. First of all, God made us. In verse 3. God made us. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We have this all-powerful, omnipotent God that loves us and that wants to spend eternity with us. He made us. He created us because He loved us. Psalm 139, King David wrote Psalm 139, and he said, starting in verse 13, he says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is our Creator, and we need to be thankful that God chose to have us around. That He chose to create us. It would have been so easy when Adam and Eve fell, when sin entered the world. He could have chosen just to wipe it all out and start over. But He didn't, because despite their mistakes and their bad choices, God still loved them. And He wanted to keep them around. He was happy still that He had created them. And God knows us inside and out. He knows everything about us. He knows us probably better than we know ourselves. My son Isaac, I was there for his birth. I've been with him just about every day of his life. He's part of me. And I know him probably better than anybody else. I know him better than anybody else knows him. Except God. God knows everything about that little boy. There's nothing about Isaac that God doesn't know. So God made us, and we need to be thankful. Thankful that we're here. Second part of verse 3 continues on, and it says we need to be thankful because God provides for us. It says we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. This is a very typical thing for a poet to do, is to call on imagery that people would recognize back in that time period. And so he compares, this writer here compares God's love for us with a shepherd caring for their sheep. And I think that's really interesting because sheep are really dumb animals. They're easily led. They're easily distracted. If a thief comes along and wants to steal the flock of sheep, all he has to do is find one sheep who's willing to allow the thief to tug him along, and all the other sheep will just kind of follow him. Because that's what sheep are. Sheep are stupid. And a lot of times we're stupid, aren't we? We're easily distracted by shiny objects and the things around us, and we just let ourselves be led along down this path where God never intended for us to go. But the thing about a shepherd is that he cares for his sheep. It's not just a job for a shepherd. He has a relationship with those sheep. And Jesus tells the story in Luke 15 about a shepherd that has 100 sheep and comes home at the end of the night and one of the sheep is missing. The shepherd doesn't just say, he'll find his way home. No, he goes out and he looks for that sheep until he finds it. The shepherd loves his sheep. Jesus called himself the great shepherd. And that's how God feels about us. He loves us so much. And even when we're so easily distracted by the things going on around us, he never stops loving us. He never stops looking for us, trying to bring us back on track. The shepherd provides for his sheep. He takes care of them. He gives them food. He guides them, keeps them out of danger. That's the shepherd's job. You know, when David was a shepherd, he fought off a lion and a bear that were trying to kill the sheep in his flock. And that's what a shepherd does. He protects his sheep, provides for his sheep. And we can be thankful that we have a great shepherd looking out for us with his eye on us. The third thing we can be thankful for is that God is good. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good." But I want to read it with verse 4, which is the thanksgiving part of the verse. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, in his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good." God is good. We can be thankful that no matter what, like I said when I was praying, no matter what happens in our lives, we just need to cling to that phrase that God is good. God is good. Some people have this view of God that he's this harsh taskmaster sitting on his throne up in heaven with the law in one hand and a lightning bolt in the other, just waiting for us to mess up, right? So he can strike us down. That's not what God is. God is good. God is good. God loves us. I was talking with Pastor Johnny at the memorial service yesterday, talking to him about Howard and about the situation with Nancy and Bella. And he said that, Johnny said that that's what we need to keep in mind. We don't need to understand why things happen the way they do. But we just need to know that God is good. God is good. And we can be thankful for that. We have a God up in heaven that is holy and perfect and that wants us to be with him forever. Fourth thing you can write down is that God's love and faithfulness will never end. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." And that's a very poetic way of saying the same thing twice, right? His love endures forever, and His faithfulness continues through all generations, which means forever, right? All generations is forever. So it's just a poetic way of saying forever twice. His love and His faithfulness will never end. No matter what happens to us or to the people around us, we can bank on the fact that God loves us. God loves us, and nothing that we can ever do is going to make Him stop loving us. That's the most amazing part of it for me. No matter what, nothing we do is going to make Him stop loving us. Consequences for the stupid acts that we do, yeah. Discipline to correct us and get us back on track, yeah. But through it all, He loves us. No matter what. And He's always going to be faithful, too. Faithfulness does not mean He's always going to give us exactly what we want when we want it. But faithfulness means He's always going to be there. He's always going to be there for us. It means He's never going to let us down. He's never going to leave us. Everything that He allows to happen to us is for our benefit. God can turn anything around and use it for good. He says that in Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. All things, even the things that we can't understand why God would allow something like that to happen. God can use it for good. Can you imagine? Think about the horrible things that you've gone through in your own life. Can you imagine going through those things without God? Without God to hold on to give you some kind of stability foundation? I need that. And God is faithful. He will always, always be there to be our foundation. He's faithful. So we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Yeah. We have a lot to be thankful for. So as we go through this week, this Thanksgiving week, let's keep that perspective. The culture of our country has... Thanksgiving is really the holiday probably that has been affected the least by our culture. You know, it still pretty much has its roots in giving thanks to God for the things that we have. So as we gather with our families this week, let's just continue to thank God for what he's given us, what He's done for us. The last few weeks we've done these prayer circles, gathering together in groups of three or four or five and praying for each other. And I wanted to save that this week for the end of the service, because I want to give you an opportunity to thank God. To thank God for the things that He's done for you. To thank God for your life. To thank God for creating you. To thank God for loving you no matter what. So I want to do that. And what I want you to do first in these prayer circles, if you would, is lift up Nancy and Pastor Janet and the rest of the Alstrom family. Let's pray for them and their grief. And then I want you to give thanks. Okay? Let's take a few minutes and gather in these prayer circles and do that. And Fred, when you're done with your praying, if you can come up here and close us, that'd be terrific.